now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
Pakenham's a terrific jumps track. He said you probably have to put in a few more steeplechase fences along the back and down the side, but he said Pakenham's as good as it gets for quality, safe, classy jumpers coming through.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
It is time for the news update with RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart. Matty, it's been the talk of the last 24 hours in Australian racing circles, the news that was breaking when we were on air yesterday about William Pike. And interesting to get a little snapshot of William Pike's thoughts in an article that was on the Age website this morning. And he will go into more detail with Gareth Hall at 11 o'clock when he has a chat to him. It'll be the first time I think he will have done a live interview, which will be fascinating because there are so many questions that need to be asked and answered and clarified. So I can't wait for that. But just having a look at the SMS, Matty, it certainly is dividing opinion. I'll read out a few of these SMSs from the listeners. Does Willie Pike have ostriches on his farm? If I was a cartoonist, I'd draw him and his family as ostriches with their head in the sand. I think it's 100-1 Willie Pike will last in Sydney. Great news that Pike has his own ventilator and ICU ward at home. Other ones saying New South Wales racing and New South Wales is head and shoulders above Victoria. It's great that Willie Pike has been given a chance. Australia is a mess, full stop, because of state-by-state interference. I'd get rid of all states and territories. Other SMSs are coming through. The New South Wales rules is what was promised by all governments when they brought in restrictions. So you can't argue with Willie Pike's decision to go there. So it's a divisive topic, Matty. Where do you sit on this?
It's just so there's so many strands to it. I mean, you know, the bigger picture issue with it all is what we've been discussing in the last few days as well, is the different jurisdictions and their either soft or hard line in on the view of, you know, do we just get on with it, which was the mentality at the Gold Coast and other places, or do we continue to play a hard line as Taz Racing has done with King Island and things like that, and then the individual decisions as well. And, you know, and it almost comes back to the Djokovic situation as well in the tennis, where the federal authorities, basically part of their justification was we didn't want this anti-vax sentiment to keep growing legs because it is becoming more and more prevalent. And then you get someone like William Pike, who has his reasons. And I read something this morning, and I'm interested to hear Gareth explore as well, about I had a bad reaction to a flu shot 20 years ago. This is a guy who risks his life every day, wakes up, and he's balking because of some reaction to a flu shot. You got Casper Founes' attitude towards it in Hong Kong as well. So it is going to be fascinating to hear from Tommy Berry. And and there is also the
sentiment.
Sorry, William Pike, when he talks to Gareth Hall, and then a little grab we've got from Tommy Berry as well. But yeah, just individuals and their interpretation of where we're at with COVID and do we get on with it? And then there's the healthcare sector that says you can't get on with it because we're buckling. And do people like William Pike understand this and the bigger picture as well? And that was expressed through the sentiment in some of the things that you read out as well. So it is a very, very complex situation. And I think William Pike, those who anti-vaxxers, I think at the very least, and this is what William Pike will do with Gareth Hall, is explain what some of us would regard as inexplicable, and that is the rationale for not getting vaxxed. And it's going to be interesting to see how listeners interpret what William Pike says about why he's not vaccinated and whether in their own mind that makes sense. And there was those grabs that you mentioned about the ostriches and the head in the sand and the does he have his own ventilator, because those scenarios do still occur. So I just hope people like William Pike, in making their decision, they understand still that we're not through this. You know, every day in the paper you read about there are stories on healthcare workers talking about how they are stretched to the limit and they don't know how the system's going to cope. Do people like William Pike still understand that that is a reality at the moment as well? So it's going to be fascinating to hear what he says. This is
personally,
actually,
I was just going to say, personally, I think it's a bad look. And you know, you can't blame William Pike for using the rules to his advantage, and the rules have been changed, but you feel for all the participants, all of the jockeys who made the sacrifice because they had to during those past 2 years, and some that decided to walk away because they didn't want to get vaccinated, may have lost jobs, may have lost income. I just think it's a really, really poor look that he is now able to go to Racing New South Wales and be accepted and allowed to participate. Now, he can only abide by the rules. I'm not saying it's bad on Willie Pike's behalf. But
it kind of is too, though, Michael. I mean,
I think Racing New South Wales is the one that needs to close the loophole. And they say we're following government advice and we're now in step with the government. But when the whole industry previously has been told, you will not be allowed to compete, you will not be able to earn a living unless you do this, and then the goalposts get changed and someone who hasn't done that is allowed to waltz in and compete on the same level. It just doesn't sit right.
And it's very Novak Djokovic. The whole saga is playing out in a similar way, other than the fact that Willie Pike hasn't been put on a plane to Dubai. So it is interesting. Tommy Berry had a more sympathetic kind of interpretation of how William Pike would be received in Sydney when he spoke to RSN yesterday. This is what he said.
Oh, I was surprised, but then obviously understanding now that the rules here in New South Wales, and I'm happy for Willie to be here. He'll be a great attribute to the riding ranks here in Sydney. We know how strong they are already, and at the end of the day, rules are rules, and he's not breaking any rules by coming here. All he wants to do is ride. Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't. We're jockeys, so we never really agree on too much. But, everyone's, entitled to their own opinion. But at the end of the day, Willie's, I'm a vaxxer. Obviously, my whole family's vaccinated, so I wouldn't say Willie and I are on the same page with him not being vaccinated. But at the end of the day, I do respect him for his beliefs and I respect him for coming out and being a high-profile jockey and being willing to give up his career, which he's been very successful at, to stand up for what he believes in.
Well, I think if, say, someone like Tommy Berry sat down with frontline healthcare workers and ambulance emergency paramedics, which a good mate of mine is one of those, and I spoke to him only recently, Michael, and this is still in the Omicron phase of it, and he said people who need serious elective surgery or people that he scraped off the road and things like that, they are trying to force their way into hospitals because the beds are full up of COVID patients. So maybe Tommy Berry would be less sympathetic if he grasped that side of the story as well.
There are so many contradictions, and there have been throughout this whole COVID situation, but I think currently in New South Wales, if you're an owner, you're still unable to attend the stables to visit your horses and to have a look at your horses. Now, you could be a double vaccinated owner and still not to be able to attend the stables where you're paying the money, you're supporting the industry. However, Willie Pike, who's not vaccinated, can just wander in and ride those horses.
No?
So there's a lot of contradictions. And anyway, it'll be fascinating to hear what Willie has to say in his own words with Gareth at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, how will he fit in? I mean, assuming that he's reasonably well received in the jockey's room, it's going to be fascinating to see how a guy who may well be the best jockey in Australia, who knows where he really sits. Every time he comes to Victoria, he does something miraculous and, he's enormously popular. Whether that resonates through the Sydney ranks, which are very tight-knit, and you've got these megastar jockeys in Sydney, is, I think it was Dwayne or one of the other, Glenn Boss actually said some time ago, he said the depth in Sydney's much greater than in Melbourne. I don't necessarily know if that's true or not, but how does this guy from the West, who I reckon we in Melbourne have more of an attachment to, getting out on Pike and the last, I'm not sure if he's as big a factor to Sydney punters. He may well be, but I'm just curious. And the other thing too is, what if the situation changes in New South Wales, which it may, like he moves over there, he settles in, and then all of a sudden there's a surge in Omicron or something happens, and suddenly he's in limbo again because he's not double vaccinated. So who knows?
Well, look, to be honest, I've got another thing against Willie Pike. It's his personal opinion. It's more the rules that have been put in place and the changing of those rules. So
I've got an issue with his personal opinion. You know how I feel about it. I don't understand anti-vaxxers, so I have a big issue with his personal opinion. So
I don't understand that as well, but everyone is entitled to their own opinion. You just have to deal with the ramifications of that. So everyone's made the sacrifice, and now he's able to compete on that level field. It will be fascinating to see how it all plays out and he fits in, though. We want to see, it's a bit like the horses. You want to see the best take on the best. But we'll get to hear Willie and his reasons in his own words with Gareth at 11 o'clock this morning. What else is making news today, Matty?
Interesting. Quinny alerted me to this guy a few days ago, this Mitch Fenton, who goes under the guise of Horse Racing Global. His Twitter handle was at Horse Racing GL, and he took on the role, and he's got a bit of history, apparently, the more I Google him. He's a Brisbane-based online amateur bookie, illegal bookie, as it turns out as well, who offered $5 anywhere between $3.50 and $6 for Coolangatta in the Magic Means two-year-old classic. She went around at $2.20 and won. A few people had a few bets with him, including one guy who had $1,000 by the rather stupid act of accepting the offer from the Twitter bookmaker and then putting money in his bank account. And then all of a sudden, when Coolangatta wins, Mitch Fenton, in every way, shape or form, disappears, including his LinkedIn profile. He's still got a profile on the Raw. And it's had 5,500 views in recent times. So there's obviously a lot of traffic heading his way. And his Instagram account's still active. But so this guy's disappeared. I'm not sure what the update is on people trying to find him. Keurig made a statement about it because he's Brisbane-based, and they suggested anyone who thinks they've been rorted goes to the Australian Communication and Media Authority, and then anyone who goes to that is then told to go to a secondary website attached to that called Scam Watch. So this guy seems to, for now, to have got away with it, and it just seems to be a sign of the times of, you know, that in with this information era, that anyone can pop up like that and make an irresistible offer. I spoke to Jamie Steer, the head of integrity down here, about not this case in particular, but generally about this type of thing. And he basically said that in 2015, there was an incident with an offshore betting syndicate, and Racing Victoria's response to was to provide on its website a listing of approved wagering service providers. And he basically, his advice was, if you think it's too good to be true, that was his line. Jamie Steer said, look, if it looks too good to be true, don't proceed. And he said, there's no way in the world that any approved licensing operator will just provide you with a bank account to put money in. There's a much more formal registration process and so on. So Jamie Steer's advice is just don't do it because it's stupid and it's not a legal transaction. Go with registered, authorised wagering operators, and Racing Victoria has a list of them on its website, and that's basically the advice he could give. And to be honest, it's a bit of a, if you, no offence to those who accepted his offer of $5, but if you're stupid enough to do it, just don't do it again. And these guys will get run out of business if people just use common sense, surely.
No, there's scammers in every walk of life, but that is sickening to see that. And you would hope that there would be something that maybe authorities could do to ensure that he doesn't have any other part in racing through websites or any punting type scams like that. You feel for those people who got sucked in, but as you say, buyer beware. I guess where they're racing today, Matty?
Yes, exactly. The place where they've been racing jumps since 1876, but I had obviously no jumps at Oakbank today. It is interesting, they've had a lot of non-jumps racing in recent times as they try to transition to this, you know, trying to build a flat profile and community and all that sort of thing. But it's a good timely reminder of where things are at with the situation with the effort to save jumps racing at Oakbank. I've made a couple of calls this morning. The situation as it was that the court in South Australia, I think it was the county court, determined in favour of the, in inverted commas, save Oakbank jumps people, in that it approved disclosure of documents, communications, emails and so on between Oakbank, the Onkapinga Racing Club, and Racing SA about the timeline and the rationale and whether the members were properly briefed about the state of play, the status quo with the Onkapinga Racing Club and so on. At the moment, from what I can gather, they are still, the pro-Oakbank people, the pro-jumps people at Oakbank are still awaiting the release of that information from the Onkapinga Racing Club. So they got the green light to gain access to it, but for the moment, they haven't gained that information that they sought. And one of the sticking points is how only 2 weeks after the AGM, the announcement was made to eliminate jumps racing. And those in the pro jumps corner are saying, well, 2 weeks from an AGM is a very big turnaround as far as lack of liaison and all that sort of stuff to make such a massive decision. So just to sum it up, they are still awaiting the full information that they have received permission to receive. So that's the latest right. with that, yeah.
Keep an eye on that. I know you're heartbroken because your Tasmanian Wonder Horse, Alpine Wolf, they've made a decision not to come to the mainland and have a crack at the Australian Guineas.
I'm more punt broken than heartbroken because we got the $34. But he's going to sail on through the three-year-old series down there, I think culminating in the Derby. There's a 2,100-metre Guineas race coming up. So the Wolf is not coming. It's a shame because with some bookies, he's as short as $15 for the Guineas. And, you know, he's a bit of a rare find down there. And if you take out Animo, who's not running in the Guineas, and you go with the Derby winner, Hitotsu, as favourite, gee, it would seem a good... It's not even a throw at the stumps. It's sort of a clipping of the bales, really. I mean, he'd be that sort of much of a chance. But he's not coming, and nor is Turk Warrior, the horse he beat last start in the Tasmanian Guineas on the 7th of January. Spoke to Steve-O this morning. And we did book a round of golf at Bunboogle during the same conversation, Michael. So you can kill two birds with one stone. The Turk's going to hang around and freshen up and go for the shorter sort of 1,400-metre type races down there. So they may be among the better three-year-olds in Australia. Who knows, because they haven't been tested on the mainland. But neither of them for now are going to venture across Bass Strait. And to the benefit, obviously, of the Tasmanian Summer Carnival. So that's good news for them. Speaking of Tassie, I haven't heard back from Paul Erickson yet, the head of Tas Racing, about the rationale behind this. This goes back to what we started with about William Pike and various jurisdictions and their take on COVID and rules and all that sort of stuff. Whilst the Magic Millions sailed along, and whilst Willie Pike can sail into Sydney, but he can't play in Perth. The situation on King Island is that they've had 115 cases, and Tas Racing has put a complete line through the last four meetings. And these are iconic meetings down there. And at the same time, I was actually talking to Mike Simons this morning. He's about to jump on a plane and go and play golf down there. 400 golfers teed off yesterday on King Island, but they can't coordinate a COVID-safe series of races. So I just wanted to have a chat to Paul Erickson about just, you know, take us through again what the concern was. And the main one was the fly-in, fly-out stewards, administrators, jockeys and trainers that they feared would go to the island, catch COVID and then take it back to where they came from, and then maybe put the summer racing festival in mainland Tasmania in jeopardy. So, but I was just not hunting them about it, but just keen to learn about, just take us through it again. What was the risk if there's no such risk at other places interstate? But they may well be making the right decision, but just looking for some clarification.
A couple of quick ones. Good to see on social media from Caitlin Jones, who we'll try and get on tomorrow. He's a bolter. Parsifal have landed over in Dubai for their Odyssey over there, which will be great to follow their journey. Also, you mentioned before some of those horses heading to the Australian Guineas. Artorias is not one of them, and it's the third favourite in the Australian Guineas market. He'll be heading towards a new market. Artorias, Zuzarella, and also Sinawan, a couple of the Freedy runners, had important jump outs this morning at Mornington. We'll follow that up tomorrow. And also, almost part of this William Pike saga and different states having different rules, an unintended consequence could be the fact that maybe we will no longer see a National Jockeys Association. The former CEO, there is no role there now because with Racing Australia not meeting, they've had no one to report to. So it's become redundant. And speaking to Matty Hyland, who is the boss of the Jockeys Association here in Victoria, he sees a future where there will be no national body. It'll be state-by-state jurisdictions who have their own rules. And I wonder whether that may well become something similar in the training positions as well.
And not just because of the inability of the states to get together, but because it just makes sense to rein it in a bit. It just seemed... I know Des O'Keefe, I had a chat about this. He said, no, it's possible for, say, a Melbourne-based Australian Jockeys Association to still cater for the needs of jockeys in northern Queensland and all these far-flung places, because they do have regional representatives and so on. But it just seems to make more sense. And I think there is, at the moment, there's bidding, you know, people are nominating themselves for the committee of the ATA. Daniel Bowman, Mick Kent and a few others have put their hat in the ring. And I think the discussion I've had with a few trainers is, in a way, it probably makes a lot more sense for it to be reined in as a Victorian Trainers Association, because I don't see a lot of symmetry between the wants and needs of, you know, the trainers in Melbourne, let alone Melbourne and Warrnambool, compared to, say, Mount Isa. So maybe that will be reined in the future. Who knows? Hey, spoke to Beck Weymouth. Mum's having a good day. The breathing tube has been removed. She's chatting. She's not taking enough pain relief because she's a tough old duck. She's got 5 broken ribs on the right side, 4 on the left side. But she's actually doing quite well under the circumstances. A bit of a fracture in her back, but whether it was pre-existing, they think it may be. So they're maybe not that concerned about that. And she's going to get some jaw work done on Friday. So she's getting there.
Wow. You speak of tough. That's the epitome of toughness. So, once again, fingers crossed for Debbie Weymouth and the family there. Maddie, comprehensive as always, and we'll follow all the twists and turns throughout the day on rsn.net.au, where you can read all about it.
Thanks, Miguel.